start. Let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right on. Here goes. One, two, three.
Welcome, Ann Arbor and the world. This is It's Hot in Here. I am one of your co-hosts, Kevin Merrill. It is Homecoming Friday. Go Blue.
Go Blue. That's awesome.
Who was that? Who are you again?
My name is Jennifer Johnson, just for the record. And this is WCBN FM, Ann Arbor.
Yes, it is.
And it always has been.
We have a great show. We have actual people here in the studio lined up in the hallway to come on to talk about different things that are going on. And we're excited because who wants to be inside on a day like this, especially homecoming day?
People who are very dedicated and filling up the warm welcome room.
And who love student radio.
That's right. That's right.
So when we come back from this first song, we're going to talk to an SNRE student who's doing a form of dumpster diving. And he's going to tell us a little bit more about that. But first up, a song that I think, what's the name of this song?
We might
again?
Be able to record, you know, we should just go ahead and play it and see if anyone knows what it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Paul?
Did that sound familiar to anybody?
Yeah, you know what? That's the point.
Oh, hey.
With a little snare drum.
A little something extra.
A little bass line.
That's a great tune.
Okay. Well, like I said, our first guest is here in the studio with us. He is Ian McCuskey. He is a SNRE graduate student. And he is the godfather, brainchild, originator of a very, very neat idea. So, Ian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. So much for having me here. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Ian is also a varsity letter winning student athlete or a former student athlete. Was on the gymnastics team here at
Fantastic.
U of M. And you can't see it, but on his right leg, he has a tattoo of the block M.
You're serious about Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
The godfather and the It was like a child and a grandfather at the same time. Whatever it was beautiful.
Exactly.
Your metaphor.
Can you walk on your hands?
Oh, all day, every day. That's how I get to class.
What was your favorite sport in the gymnastics? Or event, I should say.
My specialty was high bar.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a good time. It's fun.
Are you still doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Wow. So that's some serious dedication and strength.
Does that do the gymnastic abilities of yours come in handy for the thing that you're about to tell us about?
I suppose a little bit. It helps.
Well, why don't we just jump in, so to speak,
as it were.
What is it that you're doing, and you and other students and some faculty and staff, what are you doing at football games? Tomorrow will be the third that is worthwhile and worth sharing with our audience.
So this is a new initiative that some SNRE master students started this year. This was actually Dean Miranda's idea. And up in the boxes, right now we're just doing the Regent guest area. There are some very high quality plastic plates and cups. And instead of just tossing them out after a single use, we are harvesting them from the waste stream, washing them, and then reusing them at SNRE events.
That is very cool. What is the Regent's visitor area?
So it is a box on the western side of the stadium where both the Regents are allowed to come and congregate, have some nice food, watch the game, and then they're also allowed to bring some guests with them who get to do the same thing. It's an awesome place to watch the game.
I bet. It's probably the best place.
Yeah.
It sounds a little Romanesque, but I'm just going to end it there.
It's a nice view.
So when you harvest them and wash them, these obviously are reusable materials. They would have normally just ended up going into the garbage and to a landfill.
Correct. And instead, we're able to wash them. The dean has done some experiments, and she found that they hold up to being washed in a dishwasher about 50 times. So
that's a really high-quality plastic plate.
Oh, it's great. And it's got a Block M on it, which we all know and love.
Absolutely.
So it makes it even cooler.
And I think the athletic director, Dave Brandon, is behind the idea and endorsed the experiment, or I wouldn't say prototype, but the idea of doing it on a test basis to see how much you actually harvest. Is it intrusive? And does it produce the benefits that everybody hopes?
No, exactly. I mean, this is one of the areas I'm interested in, is kind of continuing this push in athletics to promote sustainability. I mean, you've got Chrysler being redone, and it's now LEED Gold certified. I mean, this is a big thing. This is something that I care about. So this is a pretty cool initiative that we can, I guess, combine these two areas that I find really, really interesting and that I'm really passionate about. So
fantastic. So how much are you harvesting in a normal game so far?
So the first game, we took 36 pounds worth of plates and cups. Mm-hmm. And the second game, we had 40, which it doesn't sound that much, but actually carrying those plates and cups down, it was a good workout. It was good. So my gymnastics abilities did come into play there. That was good. I got my workout that day.
What does 36 pounds or 40 pounds even of plates look like in a plastic bag?
Let's see. So I think we've been using the large 5-gallon garbage bags, mm-hmm, to transport, and 40 pounds pretty much fills that up. I mean, I'm double and triple bagging to make sure these they're not rolling all over the stadium concourse on my way out. But it's a hefty amount. It's great.
So how does the process actually work? Do you stand off stage behind a curtain by a garbage can? Walk us through the actual moment of harvesting.
So this is actually one of the really cool parts over the past couple weeks. The first week, we put up a sign at the actual garbage can saying that School of Natural Resources students will be harvesting these plates and cups. Please put them in the bin on top of the garbage can. And the first week was definitely more of the dumpster diving week, just with it being a new idea and a new experiment. A lot of the guests were not necessarily complying with that sign, so I was doing a lot of like you said, dumpster diving, grabbing some plates and cups from the garbage. But that's one of the cool things, being a behavior education and communications track. The behavior change from the first week we did it to the second was awesome. I mean, I probably only had to take maybe 3 plates out of the garbage the second week we did it. So
did
there's
you change
hope.
Anything? Did you change the signage?
No. Signage was exactly the same. It's just people, there's hope. People learn quickly, which is awesome. And it's really, really cool. So, yeah, I just kind of stand to the side. If I see some plates that people aren't using at some of the tables, I'll go and pick those up. And
do you have a special shirt on that identifies you as a harvester?
Yeah.
No, I wear my snurd shirt loud and proud. So, and that's pretty cool. I've gotten a bunch of people asking, like, what's a snurd? Like, they almost they're not sure how to phrase the question. But
snurd is funny. My dad used to call me a snurd all the time as a kid, and we didn't even know about the school natural resources. Apparently,
he was ahead of his time.
He still is.
There you go.
So what will be different about tomorrow, or will it just be stage three of this experiment? And will you do all of the home games this year? And at what point do you sort of stop and say, okay, as a test pilot, we've proven ourselves, and so what?
So this weekend will be essentially the same, with one caveat, in that the past couple games we've used 4 students total. And this weekend, we're going to try it with only 2, with the idea being that eventually this is not only completely student-run and organized, but also we can start expanding to some of the other boxes. So we take some of the students that were priorly in the RGA and kind of go out and start implementing this in some of the other suites, which would be awesome. So we'll see how this weekend goes. It's exciting, though.
Are there any plans to harvest the trash of the common people, those who are forced to sit in actual seats and don't have people bringing them hors d'oeuvres?
I haven't gotten that far yet.
it's only just beginning.
Exactly. This is still the experimental stage. But no, I mean, ideally, that would be great. You can, I guess this part of the reason for starting here was that you're talking about a much larger concentration of plastic that's a lot easier to reuse. But eventually, the idea of a waste-free big house would be the eventual goal, which would be very, very cool.
That would be national news if we could get there. It's just logistically, that is a huge task. But things like this make a dent.
But no, the trash goes somewhere. I mean, all of the cans that are thrown away with all of the tailgating, many of them, because they have a cash value, are picked up by people who need the money.
Oh, exactly.
It's possible.
No, I mean, and that's logistically, financially, it's a difficult undertaking. But like you're saying, that's national news. This is in my opinion, one of the coolest things about initiating and continuing sustainability in athletics, is that you've got this nationwide stage. People pay attention. They care about sports. It's a national pastime. And I mean, I'm biased. I think Michigan football is a national pastime just because it's the greatest school in the world. But this is something that draws attention. You can implement behavior change through this. This is a great stage to do something like this on. So,
are you also able to watch the game, or does this kind of keep you away from the first quarter or so?
I get to listen. So when the guests are yelling and screaming, I know something either really good or really bad is happening. So I can kind of rush up to the window and check. But in general, the focus is much more on the recycling, which
the plates, keeping it to the plates.
Exactly. Which is fine.
Well, good luck to you tomorrow. You never grab like a chicken wing off and just nibble on it, do you? Just please say no.
No, okay. No. Don't worry. I'll go to the source for the chicken wing. But
I was going to say, I hope they at least give you a little sum for the effort.
No, they're very generous.
That's very generous. That's really good. Well, that is commendable work.
Yeah, great job. So you got a ticket for the game tomorrow?
You bet. I'm going.
What's the final score going to be?
Oh, I don't know. I'm excited. My whole family's in town. My grandfather, my uncle, both U of M alums. Grandfather actually's forestry school alum. So,
oh my goodness,
classic.
This goes all the way back. So maybe ask them about the score. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, Ian, thanks for coming.
Very proud of you, as we are too.
Thanks for coming in today, and good luck tomorrow. And maybe we'll have you back on in a couple of weeks as the home season wraps up, just to sort of see how well it went. And
final tallies.
Final tallies.
I would love that.
Total poundage.
That sounds great. Thanks so much for having me. Go blue and live green.
All right.
All right, cool. Thanks, Ian.
Take care, Ian. And in honor of the big house, this is Brick House.
holding nothing back. Ow, she's a brick house. Well, put together, everybody knows this is how the story goes. She knows she's got everything that a woman needs to get a man. Yeah, yeah. How can she lose what the suit she used? 36, 24, 36. Ow, what a winning hand. Cause she's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty. I'm just letting it all hang out. She's a brick house. I don't like Lady Stack. That's a fact. Ain't holding up. Ways. Make a old man wish for younger days, yeah, yeah. She knows she's built and knows how to please. Sure enough to knock a strong man to his knees. Cause she's a brick house. Yeah, she's mighty, mighty. Just letting it all hang out.
That was good times. That was Brick House by the Commodores. And unfortunately, this is not a television show because Ian just gave us some great handstands live in the studio. I'm not even joking. But we have documented that in picture form. And we did get his permission to put that up on our website. Should we get that going? So look for that at snre.umich.edu/radio. Yeah, Kevin did a backflip directly into a handstand. He did the handstand, backflip from a handstand, back to the handstand. And he's still in that handstand.
Actually, I just laid on the ground and rolled into a ball. That's my...
Where is my calisthenics gone? I love it.
I hope you get the photo off because that was crazy.
Totally. That was great. First live handstands perhaps in the studio, but we don't know if that's for sure. Hey, there's a really exciting event going on this weekend at the Mathai Botanical Gardens. So I had a little call with David Betts of the Gardens earlier this week, and we're going to play you a little bit of that now.
So I am here live on the phone with David Betts of the Mathai Botanical Gardens and Nichols Arboretum in Ann Arbor.
Hello.
Hello, David. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having us.
We're very happy, and hopefully this will be the beginning of a longer friendship and collaboration between
that would be great.
The show and the gardens. So y'all have a very exciting event coming up this weekend. Could you tell us a bit more?
I sure can. We, early this spring, in April, in fact, opened a new Great Lakes garden, kind of completed our display garden area. It's about a 1-acre space,
uh-huh.
And it features and recreates some of the special habitats found around the state and around the Great Lakes. So that was kind of a kickoff, and we have done a lot of work over the summer. And so there have been over 1,000 plant starts added, and it's really going to be a few-year process, but we want to invite people to periodically to come back out and see what's happening enjoy this space and learn about our region and the wonderful plants that really grow, some of them only here. We are having a Great Lakes Garden Fall Festival to invite people out here this Saturday and Sunday.
Excellent.
It's going to include a native plant sale, which is a great time to plant native plants. And it's going to be plants that have been grown here from seeds collected on the property, as well as we have invited native plant nurseries, which is a local native plant grower who grows things year-round. And probably some of your listeners will recognize them from the farm market and places like that.
Fantastic.
So there'll be the plant sale, from 10 to 4:30, both Saturday and Sunday. Got some other events happening. Saturday will be some tours with our director, Bob Gracie, in the Great Lakes Garden. They're going to be at,
I think, 11 and 2 p.m.?
Maybe. 11 and 2 p.m., thank you. It's right here below my...
It's already marked on my calendar, David, so I'm ready.
I'll be looking for you. And then it's going to kind of cap it off on Sunday with a local favorite, Joe Riley, giving a concert on the lawn, weather permitting, at 2 p.m. And if the weather's bad, we're going to come into the conservatory. So either way, it's going to be a great time, great music.
Absolutely. Joe Riley is fantastic. Oh, and what a wonderful setting to hear some music at some native plants.
Yes, and I sound like you're familiar with him, and I know a lot of your listeners probably are. He's got a great message and has helped families, kids connect really to the environment, and so he's got a great message. It fits with ours as well.
Yes, I think we played a wonderful song he has about tomatoes some years back. Maybe I'll
pick
that up. I really dig it. So what is the address of Botanical Gardens?
We are, again, the University of Michigan Math High Botanical Gardens. We're on Dixboro Road.
Okay.
So we're east of campus, east of 23, between Geddes and Plymouth.
All right.
World famous prop shop.
All right, all right. So that was David Betts of the Math High Botanical Gardens. And go ahead and give him a visit Saturday and Sunday from 10 until 4 p.m. You can find more information on their website, which is lsa.umich.edu/mbg. Next up, we have Lisa Litzenberg, and Claire Boland, who will be talking about the fantastic career week we have coming up at the School of Natural Resources and Environment. But here, first, an inspirational tune.
Dip, 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 dip. La-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, puddles. La-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, puddles.
Get a job. You may be worried about the time to get me out of my bed and crying for the job. You're after breakfast every day, so you throw the one and ram away. I never felt the same.
There is
smile, preaching and crying. Tell me that I'm lying about a job
that I never could
All right, so Lisa and Claire, how do we get a job?
Well,
that's one a general question, isn't it? There ever was one.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Career Week that we're hosting, SNRE Career Week, is designed to help SNRE students and others interested in environmental careers to learn about careers in the field. We have an expert, nationally recognized environmental career expert, Kevin Doyle, who is coming to speak. He will give a keynote presentation on green careers. So this event, we really want to see the larger community out there come and attend. That is on Monday, October 7th from 7 to 8:30 p.m., and Kevin has been in the environmental career field for over 15 years, leading the Environmental Careers Organization, where he has put in something like he has helped 11,000 students launch their environmental careers and internships by placing them in internships. And he's written numerous books on environmental careers. So that's one of the sessions. We have something like six panels, environmental career panels that we are having a lot of local alums come and speak on. And so that's great exposure to hear about the different types of careers. And then we have a speed networking session as well, where we have 30 plus alums coming and speaking with students to help them practice their networking skills.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. So this is the second year that Career Week has been going on. So it's a joint venture with the School of Natural Resources, Office of Academic Programs, and the student government. So we're really excited. It's a great collaboration between the two parties. I know that we've had some great... So students get the chance to reach out to alumni, kind of get exposed to what's out there, how their resume looks. Mm-hmm. Should they be taking more GIS classes? Should they be taking less GI classes for what they want to do? It's been great to work with. We're excited to have the companies come and visit.
That's a tremendous, tremendous idea and success, actually.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago that the student government got involved. And in my impression, it's added a lot of energy and visibility that they're partners now with OAP in helping bring events in and make students aware and willing to participate. How did you land Kevin Doyle? Was that difficult? Because he is a big name, and I guess if you want to get a job in the environment, he's the guy that is going to be able to help you.
Indeed. Did he used to do a big newsletter kind of thing?
He wrote for Grist magazine. Okay. And he's just actually lots of students have been coming up to me and telling me that they have gotten their starts and they have had internships through Kevin, and so they're really excited that he's coming. But Kevin is someone that I've known for many, many years, and he did come and speak at SNRE a number of years ago, and he's been very involved with many of the graduate environmental programs, helping students launch their careers. So he's somebody that I've known, and he's just super enthusiastic about helping students get into environmental careers. So it wasn't that difficult. He's an awesome, awesome person.
And he's got a great first name.
Kevin and Kevin.
Hey.
Are you excited to meet him?
I am.
Hi, Kevin. I'm Kevin.
Across the whole university, do all of the other 18 colleges and schools, do they all have career week in the same week, or this is our career week? It happens to be the second week of October.
So this is just our career week. Last year, we had the speed networking, and we had kind of looked to future dates to book speed networkings and Polymer Commons. So we thought this is a great week. There's the bonfire that's tonight, so we thought that might be a good rallying moment and then kind of spin people off to realize that they need to get a job at some point.
Now, Claire, what year are you in? Will you be graduating in April or May? Whatever.
Yeah, so I'm a second-year master's student, sustainable systems track. I will be graduating in April.
Will you be participating as a student government rep or as somebody with a resume in hand?
I would say both. I may be that person putting falafel out and then taking a seat in the back trying to take some notes.
Falafel, that sounds good. So this year we're doing speed networking again. And last year was a big success. Lots of alums came back, lots of alums in person, lots of alums via Skype. What's different about the event this year, the speed networking piece of it?
I would say it's pretty much the same. Similar, I mean, we will have in-person alums participating as well as virtual alums participating via Skype. So that will be very similar. We're playing around with the possibility of making slightly longer rotations for students to spend a little bit more time speaking with each alum. And I guess the one thing I will say that will be different is that we will have an opportunity at the end of the session for students to meet with any of the alums that they may be interested in meeting with. I think last year was sort of like we did have set rotations and we will have set rotations this year. So students don't exactly get to choose who they will be meeting with in the set rotations. But this year we will allow students to have some freedom to meet with alums that they may have missed in the rotations to speak with informally. So I think that would be great.
How much time do you give people? 5-7 minutes?
I think it is going to be in the neighborhood of 7 to 8 minutes.
And is the idea I sit down and say, hi, I'm Kevin. This is what I want to do with my career. And the person's already looked at my resume? Or exactly what are the mechanics of that 7 minutes? How do they play out?
Yes. So this is a sort of a training exercise to help students learn how to introduce themselves to professionals. And so you can't imagine, like for us, we think, oh, that's natural. Just introduce yourself. Just say a few words. But for a lot of students, that's a big deal to be able to speak with a stranger. But, you know, our alums are so friendly, so they're not really strangers. But, you know,
By the way, you are getting a master's degree. So, yeah, you know, yeah.
And so it's an opportunity for them to learn how to do an elevator pitch, to introduce themselves quickly and efficiently and say what's relevant, why. You know, what's unique about their skill sets and how that may relate to a particular employer's interests and needs for hiring. And so this is a great opportunity. We tell students this is a great way that they can learn to introduce themselves to others, not just alums, but they can use this in career fairs. They can use this in cold calls as they reach out to other employers. And so we view this as a great friendly way for them to practice.
And Claire, your thing. Introduction will be, hi, would you like some falafel?
Please take a seat quickly. No, actually, I did speed networking last year, and it was a blast. I met a lot of people. Actually, I apparently had lived in some girl's apartment after her in college.
Small world.
So it was really great exposure to also what SNRA alums are up to, as also kind of like a great intro to the community. I was a first year and had never been to Ann Arbor, and there was a lot of really cool environmental organizations going on that I was able to follow up with alums with after.
If I could say something real quickly, too, please. For listeners, we're always looking for exciting people either currently working as environmental professionals or perhaps retired in the local areas. We'll be hosting this every year. And so if listeners are interested and you're in that position where you'd like to help students in the future, we'd love to chat with you. So please get in touch. You can email snre.careers@umich.edu. Introduce Perfect. Yourselves and we'll try to plug you in.
I love it. It's such a great service you're providing for the students here. And indeed, all of the rest of the goodness knows world who will be benefiting from also their hard work. That's great.
How do the panels work? 3 or 4 people and they're grouped by themes, or they are employers in those areas, or are they alums talking about what they should have, could have, would have done when they were here? What exactly the composite profile of the panel participants?
So we've grouped them by category. For example, on Tuesday night, we have a panel, energy, careers in energy. And so we have people from either General Motors, who you may not think is, but it's using like oil, so therefore energy related, versus people from DTE or Five Lakes Energy. So they're grouped by topic area, so that way students are able to kind of rally around that topic. So we also have a panel on resource conservation and management. We have some alums and some students doing international students and how they navigate the U.S. workforce. Because a lot of people, especially if you're coming in as a first year, you might not know how that process works.
That's smart.
So we've been working with the International Center. We have a panel rallied around consulting. So that's also from management consulting to environmental consulting, small, large, kind of how to navigate that area. So really, and then we lastly have a conference and networking. So kind of conferences you should be looking at, how you can get them funded, if you're able to present there, and kind of what the, going back to speed networking, the spiel that you should give while you're at the conference.
And then also I just want to add, we have a global environmental careers panel that we're really, that this one's really open up to the community. So if folks are interested, that's Friday, October 11th, 11:30 to 1 p.m. in 1040 Dana. We have multiple speakers coming to talk about how do you get a career working globally. It could be U.S.-based careers, but working on global environmental challenges. We have Amy Braun, an alum who's a sustainability manager at Kellogg Company. Chris Nordstrom, a landscape architecture alum who was with a landscape design firm in Norway. Really great insights that he'll be providing. And a current student, Breland Jones, who interned with USAID in Liberia. And so that's another opportunity. And in almost every case, I think we're providing exciting refreshments.
Some heavy snacks.
That's great. I really, since the belts have been tightening at the university, I've really been missing all of the Silvio's pizza that we used to enjoy. As the belts have been tightening, our belts have been tightening. So I'm some heavy snacks. That sounds delicious. Falafel.
That's why I couldn't do my handstand when Ian was here.
Well, that's why you had to do it on your hands, because you're so spry now.
So how much of this, of what we just described, is open? People listening, can they just show up and say, I'm an undergraduate in LSA or I'm a Pipe student? Can they wander in, or is it, do people have to register primarily?
Pretty most of the sessions are open to everyone, with the exception of speed networking, because that is very set rotations, and that's for the SNRE students, and they have to RSVP in advance. But pretty much everything else is open to anyone who may be interested. So, yes.
We have signs in the front of the building. So maybe if you stop by the Dana building, there's the schedule is out there. We also have it on the SNRE website for Career Week. So if you Google SNRE Career Week 2013.
Yeah, you'll get there.
You'll get there. Are there any panels on environmental radio?
Next year. We'll be doing a special one.
Hopefully we'll be here next
Hopefully
year.
We'll still be here.
We're looking for panelists. So
okay. I think
Oh gee, keep us in mind.
Who would you put on that panel?
I don't know. Yeah.
Lisa, Claire, thanks for coming in today. Good luck with the week. You're gonna rest up for the weekend, and then Monday comes and put the pedal to the metal and give students lots of great advice and let them meet lots of great people and feed them great food. And hopefully that will lead to them getting jobs.
Hopefully great jobs.
Great jobs with the great food.
That's right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for all the work you do, Lisa and Claire. And we look forward to that and next week.
All right.
More information, check out snre.umich.edu. And along the vein of preparing yourself for Career Week, here's a little tune called Get a Haircut by George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
I was a rebel from the day I left school. Grew my hair long and broke all the rules. I'd sit and listen to my records all day, with big ambitions of when I could play. My parents taught me what life was about, so I grew up the type they warned me about. They said my friends were just an unruly mob, and I should do get a haircut and get a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job. Clean your act up and don't be a slob. Get it together like your big brother Bob. Why don't you get a haircut and get a real job? I even tried that 9-to-5 scene. I told myself that it was all a bad dream. I found a band and some good songs. This chick, she was my number one fan. She took me home to meet. haircut and get a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job. Clean your act up and don't be a slob. Get it together like your big brother Bob. Why don't you get a haircut and get a real job? Get a real job. Why don't you get a real job? Get a real job. Why don't you get a real job? Time with my rock and roll band. The future's brighter now than I'd ever planned. I'm 10 times richer than my big brother Bob. He's got a haircut, he's got a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job. Clean your act up and don't be a slob. Get it together like your big brother Bob. Why don't you get a haircut?
Right, so everybody, get a haircut, get a real job, so you can get one next week at the SNRE Career Fair. We're very excited to have Eva Resnick-Day with us.
Happy to be here.
Yes, awesome. So please tell us, what is the organization you work for?
Yeah, I work for the Forest Heroes Campaign here in Ann Arbor, and we're working to get Kellogg's to stop sourcing palm oil that's destroying rainforests in Indonesia.
Tell us more about that, please.
Yeah. So basically, you know, Kellogg's is this Michigan company with a really great reputation and the famous icon, Tony the Tiger. But they have recently partnered with Wilmar International, who is a giant palm oil agribusiness based out of Singapore. And they've been ranked the least sustainable corporation in the world by Newsweek 2 years running.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that's because they burn rainforests in Indonesia for palm oil, which Kellogg's is then using in its cereals and snacks. And that's, you know, driving climate change and killing Sumatran tigers and orangutans. There's a bunch of other issues with it as well, but those are the main ones.
Wow. Yes. I'm just looking at their website now. Yeah. Wilmar.
Yeah.
The issue of certainly planting palm instead of naturally growing forests that have been growing for a long time is mm-hmm. is a really significant issue out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are other SNRE alums. Brianna LaMorgan is also working on it for a forest group out in California.
Cool.
Name is escaping me.
Forest Ethics?
It could be. Okay. It could very well be.
Yeah.
Not Forest Heroes, but no. I love Forest Heroes.
Thanks.
Is your organization based out of anywhere in particular? How
yeah.
did it start?
It started, we are a coalition of groups across the United States that are concerned about palm oil in our food industry. And we're specifically here on the ground in Michigan right now. There's four of us working because, you know, Kellogg's is in Battle Creek, so it's an hour away. So we wanted to come to their backyard and put pressure on them and tell them that their neighbors here in Michigan want them to be a forest hero and do the right thing and break ties with Wilmar International unless mm-hmm. Wilmar agrees to stop relying on destroyed rainforests.
What is it? Where else in the world is are the is it a palm nut or the palm walk me through what exactly is grown and how is it harvested and where is it most naturally grown on the planet?
Yeah, so it's most naturally grown in Southeast Asia and tropical areas. So in Borneo and Indonesia is the main place that we're targeting right now.
It's also being planted on islands where I work in Lake Victoria in Eastern Africa. And it's absolutely devastating to the actual microclimates there.
Yeah.
Yes, it's making money for people, but not people who have lived on that land a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
There are land concessions and fertilizers, pesticides, which then go into the water and make it very difficult for young fish to survive, which is...
That's
my shtick.
Yeah.
So these things are connected. Absolutely.
Absolutely connected. And so currently they are actually just bulldozing and burning the rainforest and then growing the palm trees to harvest the palm oil. But it's really easy to grow palm oil on degraded land instead. And there's 10 million hectares of degraded land in Indonesia alone that Wilmar could be growing on instead of literally burning down rainforest to grow. So we're trying to get them to make that transition. So we're not asking them not to harvest palm oil. We're just asking them to do it in a sustainable way that's not destroying the lungs of our earth, our rainforest. And once we destroy those, we can't get them back.
So I'm on the Wilmar website right now.
Yeah.
And I'm on their sustainability section.
Yeah.
Okay. So it has some great, you know, global climate. Yeah. We're a successful business.
Yeah,
trade-offs between money and other stuff. And then they're saying, amidst the impoverished regions of the developing world in which we operate, our presence has brought relief and stability to many who live on the poverty line. Here's some more kickers. In our farming practices, we have also adopted a responsible plantation management approach that enables us to enhance nature's biodiversity without compromising yields or plantation profitability. In a nutshell, we firmly believe that environmental conservation and economic prosperity through sustainable agriculture can work in practice. Wait, so they're enhancing nature's own biodiversity?
Yeah, that's what they like to say. And that's actually what they responded to our calling.
You can say anything you want.
Yeah, but in practice, that's not what they're doing at all. And actually, they're saying they're enhancing the community there. And they've displaced over 10 million indigenous people that rely on the rainforest.
10
for survival.
Million?
10 million over their course of time in Indonesia. So they can say all they want, and that's how they've been responding to our campaign. They're saying, you know, we do care about this. We are sustainable. But at the same time, they've recently conceded that they just destroyed the home of orangutans and the last 400 remaining Sumatran tigers. And they were forced to admit that, the CEO of Wilmar. So they can say
the last
all they
400,
want.
I mean, I don't get emotional about wildlife, but the last 400 Sumatran tigers, that makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
So I guess I do get emotional.
Yeah, you do. And it's just really ironic because, you know, Kellogg's, their mascot is Tony the Tiger, and they're literally destroying the homes of, you know, their mascot. So.
What? Almost a perfectly terrible irony.
I know, which is why we keep dressing up in Tony the Tiger costumes everywhere we go.
Well, tell us about the techniques or some of the approaches that you're taking to create awareness and get the change made that you want to have made. So obviously you come on shows like this, but what are some of the other techniques you're using to create awareness and create the change?
Yeah, definitely. So Kellogg's likes to think of themselves as a responsible corporation that takes sustainability into practice, and they have a great reputation.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. So we're trying to use that reputation angle. So instead of saying, you are terrible, what you're doing is terrible, we're saying, you have an incredible opportunity since you are now partnered with Wilmar International, the least sustainable corporation in the world, to get Wilmar to change its practices. So you can be a forest hero and save all the carbon and save the animals from right here in Michigan. So our tactics are showing them that the people of Michigan, mothers, dads, the community members, students, all want them to do the right thing and be a forest hero. So for instance, two things that we have done this week alone. One, we went to the career fair. So Kellogg's was there recruiting students, and we just wanted to ask them about their partnership with Wilmar International, so they are forced to have an answer. So we were there in a Tony the Tiger costume. And got hundreds of students to sign on saying they didn't want to work for a company that was destroying rainforests.
Did you plant anyone in the audience to ask them uncomfortable questions?
Yes. Yeah, there was about five people that stood in line and pretended like they wanted a job with Kellogg's and then went and asked them about their partnership.
Wow.
Yeah. And then actually on Wednesday, we had a statewide call-in day of action that generated over 500 phone calls to CEO John Bryant of Kellogg's, asking him to either end his partnership with Wilmar International and or better use their leverage to get Wilmar to adopt sustainable practices. And so that ended up in the news all over the state, which is really exciting. And Wilmar International, which is, you know, the biggest palm oil trader in the world based in Singapore, actually directly responded to our call-in day of action, and it ended up being printed in the Battle Creek Inquirer, which is, you know, the backyard of Kellogg's. So, like that. So we just want to have be in the news and have Kellogg see that, one, their reputation is at stake, but two, the people of Michigan want them to be a forest hero and do the right thing.
Well, Kellogg's isn't here. We didn't ask them to come on, but yeah. I'm wondering if they were here. Yeah.
In, fair and balanced. We make no claims towards that, but
what is their official position? And do they disagree with you on some basic factual points regarding your argument about the Wilmar relationship, about what's being destroyed? So if I was to go on their website, if they were mm-hmm. sitting here, what is their position?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of talks with them, and it's not that they disagree with us. They say, we are trying our best to buy only palm oil that is grown sustainably. And there's some truth to that. But basically, they're saying, we don't have any say over what Wilmar International does. And their partnership isn't necessarily based on buying large amounts of palm oil. They partnered because Kellogg's is looking to move its products into China and Asia, and Wilmar is already there and already has their manufacturing areas, and they already have their marketing areas. So Kellogg's is just partnered with them for that reason. So Kellogg's is saying, you know, you can talk to Wilmar if you want, but our partnership doesn't have anything to do with this. And, you know, I asked the CEO and he said they're doing fine. So that's kind of what Kellogg's answer has been. But we're saying you can't partner with the least sustainable corporation in the world and pretend that you're still sustainable. And
they wouldn't be partnering with you if they weren't profiting from that partnership in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. Wilmar. Exactly. And they both really care about each other. So we want Kellogg's to use that leverage to get Wilmar to do the right thing. So basically, Kellogg says they're trying their best already, and Wilmar, and we should talk to Wilmar. But basically, individuals like us and nonprofits can talk to Wilmar International in Singapore, but are they going to listen to us, or are they going to listen to Kellogg's, who they have a multi-million-dollar contract with?
Exactly. And I mean, Kellogg is, as you said, a Michigan corporation.
Yeah.
They are influenced by things that happen in Battle Creek.
Yeah.
What's in the newspaper?
Yeah.
Wow, that's inspiring.
Yeah.
We should play a little bit of a tune because it's also an inspiring tune for me.
Yeah.
We'll come back for a little more of this conversation and then some final words. But this is Alice Russell's version of Seven Nation Army with Nostalgia 77. Is it? Oh, no, I'm sorry. You're so great, Paul, our engineer, to have Joe Riley queued up. But we have to play this song. I'm sorry. Check out Joe Riley. He's awesome. He's going to be at the Mathai Botanical Gardens Saturday and or Sunday for the native plant sale. Oh, no. Can we play the Alice Russell song? I'm sorry, Paul. How great that we can do this live. Thank you, listeners. This is college radio. We like to remind you that.
I think Paul just quit.
It's like, I'm out of here. I've been doing flawless coverage for you this entire day. And now you're doing crazy things.
Carrying you people on my back.
That sounded wonderful.
Look at him.
Yeah.
There's no sweat on that guy.
Seven Nation Army couldn't hold me back. They're gone. says find a home.
Back. That was fun tune. It still continues to be a fun tune. And we are here with Eva Resnick-Day, who is working with Forest Heroes, doing some pretty heroic work.
Well, thank you.
You have to be brave to do that kind of thing. You really do.
I appreciate it. I feel like it's absolutely necessary.
Wow.
So what's your next couple weeks, months look like? What's the game plan going forward to get accomplished what you want to get accomplished?
Yeah. So in the immediate future, we're holding a bunch of letter to the editor writing parties. So we got a bunch of great coverage after
Party.
The call-in day of action. Woo! So we think it's just a really great time to respond to that coverage and get our name in the paper more. But the two big things going forward is we're going to be having Halloween party events across the state. So we're actually in Ann Arbor going to the Detroit Zoo and dressing up as endangered species. So Tony the Tiger, but also, you know, the Fruit Loops toucan and the Keebler elves.
I was a dead snapper once. Do you need a fish?
Yeah. If you want to come and be a fish, I'm all down for that. So the big part of that is just getting a lot of media attention that is putting Kellogg's reputation at question and linking that to Wilmar. So that'll be the Halloween event. And then in November, we are actually traveling to Battle Creek from across the state for a big rally right outside of Battle Creek headquarters with all of those endangered species costumes and lots of press and just really putting a lot of direct pressure on them. And at that point, we're going to be having a sit-down meeting where we hand deliver over 4,000 petitions that we've collected over the last few months from Michigan residents.
That's tremendous. I mean, I'm just thinking about getting 500 people to make phone calls on a single day in one state to a CEO. I mean, that's brave even to pick up the phone. People are afraid to call their congressmen or women, even though it's just an intern picking up the phone.
Yeah.
What is the palm oil? Is it used in the cereals or some of their snacks?
Yeah. So they use it in Frosted Flakes and Pop-Tarts and all of those products. But palm oil is actually also found in 50% of all consumer goods here in the U.S., from soaps and detergents to your shampoos to snack foods. It's in all kinds of things. So once again, we know that we're not going to be eradicating palm oil, but we just want it to be done sustainably.
Wow.
Well, good luck to your efforts and maybe keep us posted on what's going on. And maybe we can get Kellogg to come on the show or somebody to say, hey.
Yeah, I would love to come back with Kellogg.
Shoot, we could even call him. I mean, we can't now. We're out of time. But maybe in the future. If our listeners want to find out more information about your work, where can they go?
Mm-hmm. Well, they should go to forestheroes.org. And
excellent.
Yeah, and also if you want to be involved or you're in the Ann Arbor area, you should email me. And that's Eva, E-V-A, at greencorps.org, which is green, C-O-R-P-S, .org. So greencorps.org.
Or forestheroes.org.
Yeah, forestheroes.org. And you'll be able to find our contact information there as well.
Awesome. Well, you just gave me so much energy to
go
fight other kinds of battles with bravery and grace. Thank you so much for joining us today,
Eva. Thank you for having me.
Wow.
Thank you, Eva.
What a jam-packed, fun time day we had.
Wow.
We had Ian of an awesome last name earlier today, and Claire.
Lisa and Claire and Eva and songs and my goodness.
It's fantastic.
I need a nap.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to thank Paul Stromberg for being our intrepid engineer, as always. Andrea Krause. We can call her our assistant producer. Yeah, she did a great job today. Appreciate that. This has been It's Hot in Here. I'm Jennifer Johnson.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks. This is Kevin Merrill.
That's right. And we're going to get out the lead this time. This is Kevin's weekly pick. I picked it for him, but a whole lot of love.
Oh,
Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. We'll be right back.
WBNFM, Ann Arbor.